Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it's Dave Player in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. So there's a great American divide that is happening in our country right now. And we are more divided than it's been in a very long time, quite possibly since the Civil War. Half the country, mostly liberal America, is concentrated in 146 of the nation's more than 3,000 counties in an area that collectively represents less than 10% of the U.S. landmass. The other half, the conservative red states of the interior of America, is geographically, culturally, economically, politically, and socially at odds with blue state America, which resides mostly on two coasts. Now, each side watches and reads different news, different books, different music, and many cannot even have a respectful conversation with one another these days. And it doesn't stop there. In the state of Illinois, the war between the governor and the speaker, our state has languished without a budget for nearly 2 years. Walter Jacobson, whose weekly perspectives continue here on WGN Radio, has led Chicago's best political coverage in town for over five decades. And to break it all down and talk about America's divide, Walter's joining us this morning. Good morning, Walter.
Oh, God, David, I'm so happy to be here. I'm always happy to be on the air.
It's a blast, always, and an honor for me, by the way.
And for me. Listen, let me dramatize some of the things you were referring
to.
For example, the split between people, the huge gap culturally, media-wise, every way there is. 20 years ago, listen to some of these numbers, and I'll try not to be boring with numbers, but 20 years ago, in a Pew Research poll, the biggest poll it's ever done, now finds that 70% of the Republicans asked questions had highly negative attitudes toward the Democrats. 20 years ago. Now it's 94%.
Wow.
For the Democrats 20 years ago, 64% of them hated Republicans vigorously. Now it's 92%. So they're so far apart, the twain will never be met, it seems.
Yeah,
I don't know what we're going to do. And then the question becomes, why? That's the mystery.
You've been in news. I mean, since the Chicago City News Bureau, you know, since Dwight Eisenhower was in office, since Richard M. Daley was in office.
Right.
Have you seen anything like you're experiencing in our culture right now?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, and I watch carefully. I mean, that's been my life. I stick with it. I'm a political
junkie. You are.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And now people are talking, even when they're discussing the differences between the parties. Now they're talking about feeling a dire threat each from the other.
Yeah.
So why? Let's figure out why. You know, you can blame the politicians. Donald Trump's got to bear some of the responsibility for the things he said. You know, he makes the gap wider since he's been running, calling Hillary a liar and calling Mexican rapists and Muslim terrorists. But he's certainly not alone. Hillary has done much to bring the gap even wider as well. Remember, she said that half of Trump supporters are deplorables, could be in a basket of deplorables.
Yeah.
Remember when she said, I don't want to stay home and bake cookies? That was bringing into the cultural gap.
Sure.
And then she talked about the right-wing conspiracy when her husband, Bill, was accused of playing around with Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
They're all doing it, David.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi saying that the Trump health care bill will be tattooed on Republican foreheads and glowing in the dark. Mitch McConnell, the leading Republican in the U.S. Senate, forms a committee to work on a new health bill, and he names 13 members of the Senate. Not one of them is a woman. Not one of them is an African-American. And he says when Obama is elected, he says that the one thing he's going to do is make sure Obama doesn't get his way.
Right.
So the world's come apart.
It has come apart. And as we've moved to this new media world, you know, the more you've got this whirlwind of voices, the more, you know, from CNNBC to Fox News, the more you cut through it, the way they're doing it is shock value. And that's why people now are driven not only by the attachment to their party. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. They're driven by a hatred for those on the other side.
Yeah, that's the hard part. And, you know, as I said right early, it's the politicians, the rhetoric that is polarizing the country. But it's also, and I think in many ways, this is kind of a hard one to talk about because we're part of it, but the media has to bear responsibility.
Yeah.
The media is so biased right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, very much so.
News media.
Yeah.
I watch them like crazy every night.
Yeah, sure.
I turn on the television set at 7 o'clock and I stay until 9 or 10 to watch the cable TV networks. And I am cringing sometimes. Look at 19 million people tuned in to watch the Comey testimony.
Yeah.
26 million people a week watch television news. So as you say, even people in their families can't get together and speak at dinner time because they're coming with the attitudes they're picking up from watching the news. And the impact not only is every day on families, but it's especially great during election time. David, Harvard just did some research and found that I'll read them off a piece of paper here because I want to forget them. Since Trump became president, on television, CBS had 9% good stories on him and 91% bad stories on him. NBC, wow. Since the day Trump became president, and Harvard did this research of all the media, papers and TV and radio, on NBC, 7% pro-Trump, or at least good news about Trump, 93% bad. CNN, 7% good, also 93% bad. The Washington Post, 17% good, 83% bad. The New York Times, 13% good, 93% bad. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how the media gets away with it.
I still think that while there are many Americans, obviously, because they voted for him, support President Trump's America First rhetoric, you know, but because of maybe his behavior, how he's kind of disrespected the presidency to a level, many don't even want to talk about their support in public. They're afraid to say that they agree with President Trump on anything these days.
Well, I'm not a Trump fan, of course, by any means. But I have to say, honestly, that there are times that things are going on in the world where I find myself saying, great, Donald, do it, get it. I mean, bomb the hell out of ISIS.
Yeah.
Why not? It's time we did that.
Yeah. We're
Make
all Americans,
sure that our, that all the people who are coming into this country are vetted. Make sure, if it's possible, to get jobs rolling in this country. You know, Barack Obama was fabulous with his speeches. He was a hugely articulate,
Very
dramatically
so.
Articulate guy. But he got all wound up in his own philosophy as a constitutional scholar, whereas Trump is speaking looks like as a man of the people. It's true.
Yeah, and
it's
true. There's no speechwriter surrounding this man.
Right.
He's speaking
well,
from
actually,
his soul.
You know what, David? Yeah. Recently, he's been a little bit better, a little calmed down. He's not been tweeting quite as much, and he has been reading off the prompter. He gave a very nice speech the day the House member who was shot in the baseball practice game. He's toned down.
Well, we're talking to WGN Radio's own Walter Jacobson about the Great American Divide, and there's more with Walter after a look at your morning traffic. State Player back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking to Walter Jacobson about America's great political divide. We talked a little bit about what was going on in the country, Walter, but let's talk state politics, because it doesn't stop there. Governor Rauner, Speaker Madigan haven't been able to get on the same page, and it's been nearly 2 years without a budget. The fiscal crisis is unprecedented, not to mention $14 billion in unpaid bills. Madigan has ruled the state since 1983, and he keeps being reelected. And I'm not fond of the lack of progress, obviously, from Governor Rauner, but I have to tell you, at some point, in my opinion, you know, Madigan at some point has to go. And can there ever be any real fiscal progress and have a responsible budget while Madigan is in office?
Well, Madigan has to go, but that's by no means a way to say that Madigan will go. Madigan doesn't go, and the more Bruce Rauner picks on him the way Bruce Rauner is doing it, which is not very smart. Madigan's a crook. Madigan's a bully. Madigan's pulling the strings on everybody. I mean, people don't listen to that stuff. When Madigan speaks about what he wants, he's talking about labor strength. He's talking about taxing the rich. Madigan is a populist who is getting people to respond to him, and Bruce Rauner is a corporate executive who people think is living off our wealth, our national wealth, getting rich and not helping anybody but the other corporate people in his community. That's, you know, I don't think we can say that we have to get rid of Madigan in order to get a budget as any more than we better say we have to somehow force Bruce Rauner to straighten out and reflect the views that are held by the people whom he represents. I mean, the programs that have gone down the drain and are going down the drain because of Bruce Rauner's insistence that there be his economic agenda, which is pro-corporation and anti-people and labor, his positions have caused the state to not, as much as Madigan, to not have a budget. And that's, you know, that's just so serious.
But you've seen this for decades. And, you know, I mean, I remember watching those perspectives in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the frustrations you've had with governors and mayors and so forth. But this time right now, because of no budget, I feel like we're kind of at a breaking point.
Well, the special session was put together to come up with a budget right away. And let's hope that even if it does, that it's passed. There's a long way between what the members of the General Assembly and the governor decide to do and what is actually signed into law. It's a hugely complicated. The complication is going to go on indefinitely. I mean, Illinois can't very well dig itself out of the financial hole it's in, no matter what it does, politically, certainly.
Yeah. I want to catch you with one more thing before you go about the city here. So a little history. On June 30th, 1925, the city of Chicago was in talks to secede from the state of Illinois to form the state of Chicago. Let me read this to you, though. So it was really last week, you know, in 1925. According to the Illinois Constitution, legislative districts had to be redrawn every 10 years. And this year, a city alderman demanded that Chicago had earned the right to have 5 more state senators and 15 more state reps. And since the legislator downstate didn't want to give Chicago any more power, the only solution was to secede. Now, recently, Mayor Emanuel telling people he could remove Chicago from the state of Illinois. He was at a national press club in Washington being asked if the state will pass a budget before the 2018 election, whether Chicago schools will open in time. And he said, if you take the city of Chicago out of the state of Illinois, which I'm telling you every day I want to do, but if you take them out, the state of Illinois' graduation rate will either fall flat or decline. So he's actually like toying with the media about he's going to want to succeed. What do you think about that?
Rahm Emanuel toys with the media because he loves the media, and he has had the media loving him for all these years he's in Washington because he knows how to do things to the media to get it to go his way. I mean, this is just being ridiculous. He was often in Washington the past few days, and he was meeting with the Trudeau of Canada recently, and he loves the exposure he gets.
Sure.
And he calls his friends on the newspapers in Washington and New York, and he gets them to interview him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a master politician. However,
he
he's not being very smart. The things he's doing now are going to cost him. He may be out of office because the polarization you're talking about has brought together a group of minorities in this city that will gang up on him, and take this for example. He should be accepting a federal monitor to implement the police reforms that he himself has been talking about. It cannot be done by somebody who is just appointed by Madigan or somebody who doesn't have the force of the federal law behind him. Why he is being so adamant about not doing that is a very good question. And you know, it's a little bit like wondering why Trump is not talking to the press as much as we would like him to. Madigan is not explaining with any degree of reasonableness why he is so opposed to a federal monitor. And as long as those questions are up in the air, kept in the air by the media, then Trump, and Rahm Emanuel will be talked about over and over and over again in the same voice and will still be apart.
Yep, we will. We'll have to see what happens. The legendary Walter Jacobson, you can hear his perspectives every Thursday on the Steve Cochran Show and every Sunday morning on my show on the Dave Plyer Show. Walter, thanks, buddy, and have a great 4th.
Thank you, too, David. You have a great 4th.
All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.